Today we're going to look at Psalm 5. I want to say something to you before I read the passage. The book of Psalms is probably one of my favorite books in all of the scripture. And it's one of my favorite books for this reason. It is a powerful book that the Hebrew children used as their prayer book and as they used it as their song book also. Unfortunately, we don't have the music that they set these pieces to. I wish we did, so that we could sing them as they did. But the book of Psalms, in the book of Psalms, is almost every human emotion that you can think of. It's all there. If sometimes you come to God and you say, I really don't know how to pray, and I'm not sure what to say at this time, what you need to do is open up to the book of Psalms, and somewhere in the midst of there, you will find the words that you're looking for to pray with. Normally, most days, I spend time in the book of Psalms and read at least 3 or 4 psalms or pieces of psalms because they are so powerful and so exciting. So let's look at Psalm 5. It says it's a psalm of David. It's written for the director of music. It's written to be used with pipes. And the first 8 verses say this. Listen to my words, Lord. Consider my lament. Hear my cry for help, my King and my God. For to you I pray. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait expectantly. For you are not a God who is pleased with wickedness. With you, evil people are not welcome. The arrogant cannot stand in your presence. You hate all who do wrong. You destroy those who tell lies, the bloodthirsty and deceitful. You, Lord, detest. But I, by your great love, can come into your house. In reverence, I bow down toward your holy temple. Lead me, Lord, in your righteousness. Because of my enemies, make your way straight before me. Every day for me includes a lot of prayer. I have had the custom of many, many years now, for most of the time, I never turn the radio on in the car. Because sometimes as I'm traveling by myself. And as I travel by myself, that's my prayer time. That's my time to speak with God and to talk with God about what's going on and what's happening. That's my time for listening to God also, that God might enlighten me about what's going on around me and what's happening around me. I love to sit outside and just sit and be quiet. Sometime we'll talk about, probably on a Wednesday night, about contemplative prayer and that type of prayer where you sit waiting on God. But I want to speak a little bit about it this morning also. For you see, prayer for me is opening up your heart to the presence of God. Prayer for me is first a deep opening of ourselves to the fullness of God. A deep opening of ourselves to the fullness of God. It requires me to look deep within me and see what's there. And sometimes as I look deep within me and see what's there, maybe I'm not most comfortable with that. But it's an opening of that space and it's an opening of that place to the complete fullness of God. Prayer is not, sometimes people think prayer is this. Prayer is, I come to God and say, God, praise you and honor to you and glory to you. And here's the things in the world I want you to fix right now. And here's the things that need to be done. And I got some friends that are sick. And by the way, you need to heal them, God. Maybe we make the language a little bit different, don't we? And make it kind of sound better. But many people think that's prayer. They come to God and they tell God exactly what needs to be done. And then they say, amen, and I'm done with my prayers for the day. Prayer is a complete opening of ourselves to God. It's a complete opening as the way many flowers will open themselves to God. I remember my mother having, and by the way, we don't need any seeds right now. We got plenty of seeds as I talk about this. I remember my mother having flowers that were called 4 o'clocks, and I know that some of you know about them. 4 o'clocks, traditionally, the ones that I grew up with, it took all day for them to warm up. It took all day, and about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, they would open up completely to God and let God pour God's love completely upon them. Now, in my later years here, I have found out that there are such things as 3 o'clocks and 2 o'clocks and 10 o'clocks. I did not know that there are different species of that plant, and they open at different times of the day, and they multiply rapidly, very rapidly. That's why I said we don't need any more seeds. We've got plenty of seeds, but I love those flowers because it gives me that image of something that is warmed up by the sunshine of God, warmed up by God's presence, warmed up by what God wants to do to touch us deep with inside, and it opens up fully to them. So prayer first for me is a time of me opening up to God and letting God touch my heart and touch those places that hurt and touch those places that need to be healed and touch those places that need to understand and need to learn more about what God's doing in the midst of this world. So prayer first is an opening up. The second part of prayer for me is a little bit more difficult for most folks, and it can be difficult for me. Prayer next is a waiting for God to bring about guidance and understanding. Prayer next is a waiting for God to bring about guidance and understanding. If you look in the first part of that psalm, in verse 3, it says, "In the morning, hear my voice, God. In the morning, I lay my request before you, and I wait expectantly." I wait expectantly. There is a part of prayer for me that is no talking, no saying of anything. It's a pausing and it's a waiting. To listen to what God says through the Holy Spirit. To listen to what God is saying to me and to our community of faith. There is a waiting. Now, if you're like me, sometimes waiting is not easy. Amen? Especially when you go to, let's see, the doctor. You have to wait just a few minutes there. I recently went to see my doctor last week for a last visit with him. I asked him for recommendations here, by the way. I asked him if he had any friends that he went to school with in this area. That morning I went in, and the night before we had had a thunderstorm of great proportions. Knocked out every one of their computers, all of their network, all of their equipment. And I normally have my appointments at 7 o'clock in the morning because I have to go in for them to take my blood, and you can't eat anything before you go. That's a sad thing. So I want to make sure I get it over early in the morning. Guess what? I had to wait. Even though I was one of the first people in the office, because they couldn't figure out how to do anything with a piece of paper anymore. They were used to the laptops they had. They were used to all the computer system that they used in logging in and writing down all the information and putting down the medication and putting down. And they had no idea how to use a piece of paper again. And I wanted to say at some point in time, come on, it's just a piece of paper. Write down what you need to and let me move on. Sometimes waiting is hard for us, isn't it? And I know you as a congregation, as a church, has spent some time waiting for a new pastor to come. And sometimes that waiting was difficult, wasn't it? Deanne and I spent some time waiting to see where we would be called and what doors God was opening up. And there were times that we had to remind ourselves, no, wait. Wait for God to reveal. Wait for God to open up. Don't get out in front of God and where God wants to go. Just wait. And that can be very difficult. So prayer first is a complete opening of myself. Prayer next is a waiting for God to bring guidance and understanding. Waiting for God to show us the best and the right. Waiting for God to speak. Now we all want that burning bush, don't we? We just want to stumble across that burning bush and turn aside to look at it and see what's going on like Moses did. And out of the burning bush, Moses, here's what I want you to do. Guess what? I have yet to find a burning bush in my 54 years. But I will tell you this. When you take the time to wait, God does speak. God does speak. So I hope that your prayer time works both ways. Not just you speaking to God, but also you creating time and space in your life for God to speak. Deanne wonders sometimes in the mornings if I'm ever going to talk. I get up in the morning and most of the time I'm very quiet and she might say something to me and I'll... It's a time of preparing myself. It's a time of getting myself ready for listening for what God has to say for that day. Not that I don't want to listen to my wife. Don't quote me, please. Okay? But it's a time for me to prepare my heart and my mind for hearing what God has to say. So I hope part of your prayer time is waiting and just being quiet. Because I still remember the one day as I was waiting and wondering, what is God trying to say today? And I was sitting on the campus of Baptist Theological Seminary in Richmond. And I watched this poor little gray squirrel. I call him poor because he was scurrying everywhere and he was going in every direction. And he'd dig a little hole here, and he'd run over there and dig a hole, and he'd run over there and dig a hole. He didn't have any acorns with him. He didn't have anything with him. And he'd run over here and dig a hole, and he kept running around and running around, and I just watched. And the thought in my mind was, oh my gosh, he has no idea what he's doing. He's running around like crazy, and he's not accomplishing anything. Guess what I heard God say at the same moment? Tim, sometimes that's how you live your life. You're running from place to place and doing a little bit here and a little bit there and a little bit here and here and here and here, and you're not accomplishing much of anything. Waiting for God to speak is powerful. It is a powerful, powerful blessing. Well, some of you may wonder, well, it's really hard for me to wait, so what do I do during this time of waiting? What can I do? Because, you know, I'm a busy person, and I got to get things done, and I got to do this, and I got to do that, and I've got to accomplish this, and I got to think about that. Well, during the time of waiting, here's what you can do. You should reflect upon your life and see what needs to be set aside. Reflect upon your life and see what needs to be set aside. Maybe you can't hear God because there's too much noise in your life. And something needs to be set aside so that you can hear. There's a whole section of this psalm, verses 4 through 6, that talk about all those wicked people. And as we read this part of the psalm, we go, I'm glad that's not me, don't we? Lord, I'm glad that's not me, that I'm not one of those people. I don't ever do anything wrong. Amen? Right? You guys are joining me with that, right? Sometimes maybe we need to look at our lives. And we need to look deep within our lives and what needs to be set aside. What needs to be set aside so that I can better hear what God has to say to me? Maybe I need to turn the music off. Maybe I need to take something out of my schedule to create time for God. Maybe I need to set aside something that's going on that I have made a commitment to for some reason. Maybe I need to look at the way I say things and the way I do things. Maybe I need to learn some new words so that I can say things in an encouraging way, in an uplifting way. Maybe I need to stop complaining. I've almost never done that. Well, I didn't in the last 5 minutes, at least. I complain just as much as everybody else does. But sometimes maybe if I set that aside, if I set that aside and let that alone and don't even just experience the moment, experience what's going on and what's happening, experience how God is speaking in that moment. One of the things I try to do each day is called an examine. It was done by the monks and is still done by the monks in their cells most often. At the end of the day, they will come into their cell, into their room, into their cave, for those guys here who have caves at home, into their cave, and they would come and they would sit just in God's presence and they would review their day. What went on this day? What maybe did I not say in the best way? What maybe could I say better tomorrow? How could maybe I be more silent? Because one of their overarching rules in the monastery, in many monasteries, is don't break the silence unless you can improve upon it. Now that'd be a hard rule to follow, wouldn't it? Don't break the silence unless you can improve upon it. But they will look through their day, and I do that each day. I think through the conversations I had with people, those I visited. How can I do better the next time? What needs to be set aside so that I can be more aware of what God's doing? So prayer is first an opening, a complete and total opening of ourselves. Prayer next is a waiting for God. And while I wait for God, I reflect upon my life and I look deep within my life. And sometimes as we look deep, we wonder, can I even be in God's presence? And that's where part of this psalm tells me this so clearly. God's love and God's work allow us the ability to step fully into God's presence and the path that God has for us. Verse 7 says, "But I, by your great love, can come into your house. In reverence I bow down towards your holy temple." It is by God's great love that we can walk into the presence of God. There is no longer a need for us to have someone else as a mediator that goes in there and talks to God for us as they would once a year under the old tabernacle system, the temple system. I don't need that anymore because of God's incredible love, His steadfast love, His love that is never failing. I can walk right into God's presence. How deep is that love and how powerful is that love? All we've got to do is look to what Jesus Christ did for us. For you see, Jesus Christ stepped away from heaven. All of His rights and privileges, all the things that He had already, He stepped away from those things. And He came here to walk upon this earth, to teach, to preach, to heal, to perform miracles, to die upon the cross, that I might have an atonement for my sin. That is God's incredible and great love. That is a love that God says, I will give up my son for you. I will give up my son to death for you. We've got three children. I'm not sure I could give any of them up for this world. I love all three of my children dearly and deeply. But as I look at the different things that are going on in and around and through this world, I don't know if I could give my children up for that. That's how much God loved us. That's how much God still loves us. That's how much God still cares for us. And it's because of that incredible love that did not stop at the cross. Remember that. The gospel doesn't stop at the cross. The gospel also includes the resurrection of Jesus Christ. As Paul says, the first fruits of those. And we will follow in that same resurrection because we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And because of that, we can step right into God's presence without fear, without trembling. You know, when the high priest went into the Holy of Holies once a year, I want you to think about this. People were never allowed inside the building except the priest. Could you imagine coming to church today and staying out on the front lawn? And by scriptures, that's all the further you're allowed to go? And the high priest would come into the midst of the Holy of Holies, and guess what they had on? They had a wonderful robe on, and on the bottom of their robe was bells. You know why there was bells? Because they had a rope tied to their leg. And if the bells stopped ringing, the priest outside the Holy of Holies would pull the rope to take the high priest out of the Holy of Holies because God had struck him dead. They were scared. They were to prepare before they walked into God's presence. And as they prepared, there was always still some fear that God will strike me dead in God's presence and I will never see another day in my life. Folks, we don't have to be scared like that. We can step right into God's presence. And as we step into God's presence and God brings us that guidance, that understanding, that power, as God brings all of that to us, look at what the psalmist says in verse 8. He says, lead me, Lord, in your righteousness. Because of my enemies, make your way straight before me. We can step into God's presence and get that very clear understanding of what God has for us. This church is at a new place. Amen? This church is at a place where God is leading us into the future. This church is at a place where it's very important that we understand prayer. It's very important that we understand how to open ourselves up to God. It's very important that we see what God is saying to each one of us. And let me let you know this. I do not, hear me clearly, I do not get a phone call from God each morning to let me know what's going on in the midst of the world. I do not get a phone call that tells me who's sick, who needs a visit, who needs some help, who needs some words of encouragement. Now, sometimes God does bring those to me, but I don't get this list of what's going on. Sometimes God brings that to you, not to me. And God may speak to you in a way that I will take years to hear. When God speaks to you, you need to speak up. Be confident that that's God speaking to you. And speak up for the sake of the community so that we can see the straight pathway in front of us. It's only when you speak up and I speak up, you give me a chance every Sunday to speak up. I want to give you a chance every time God speaks to you to listen to what God has to say. So that I can clearly hear and we all can clearly know where God is leading this church into the future. I've heard many comments already about here's how we reach out and this is what we... And you know what? I'm excited about that. I'm excited about all the information that's coming in to provide help and guidance and understanding for what God has to say in the midst of this world. That is a blessing. That is excitement. That is wonderful. Let's continue to communicate with one another about what God says. That way we can see the straight path in front of us. We can see where the pitfalls are. We can see where the problems are as we communicate with one another. Here's what I want to ask you. Where are you in this process of prayer? Where are you in this process of prayer? Is prayer an incredibly important thing to you? Is prayer a time where you can fully open up to God and say what you need to say? Is prayer a time where you're waiting for God to speak? Have you created that space and that time in your life for God to speak to you? In weeks and months ahead, I'll give you plenty of ideas on the ways that God speaks. But what I want to get through today is, are you there? Are you waiting for God to say something to you? Are you waiting to hear that? Have you examined yourself to see, is there something I need to set aside? Is there something I need to set aside? And do you have the full and complete confidence that you can walk into the presence of God and say whatever you got to say? Take the time to look through the Psalms. The people said some incredible things to God. And as I read some of the Psalms, I'm like, I'm not sure I can say that. But it's there, recorded in our scriptures. Where are you in this process of prayer? Let's take a moment just to pray. Lord, prayer is a difficult thing sometimes for us. We feel like we need to have the right words and the right things to say. We feel like we need to turn and just look to you. And sometimes, Lord, we get a little scared and we just say amen and walk away. Help us to develop our ears that we might listen better. And Lord, listen as we cry out. From the depths of our soul, as we cry out, listen to us. And then guide us and lead us in the path that we need to go. That we might be a blessing to you and bring great glory and honor to your kingdom as we reach out to help other people see Jesus Christ. It's in His name that we pray. Amen.